1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God.
Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Tay. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis Miracle.
All right, we're coming on back for another edition of the Scolders Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brownmarkle. With me, as always, my good friend, Mike Anderson. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing well. Better than the last couple weeks, so.
Yeah, Vikings get away with a win in Philadelphia. Dilly dilly. We just won in Philly. Go to 2-2-1, which is tied for second place in the North. So we'll see how that breaks down. Last year, this time, we were also third place in the North. So not really worried about that. A little bit early to decide the division at this point.
Yeah.
Before we get into the game, though, let's break down a little bit of a couple of big highlight moments around the league this week. You had Mahomes walk in and pretty much throttle the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Now, I picked Jacksonville when we did our preview game to win that, but Mahomes just slinging it. I don't know. How impressive is this kid, man?
Seems like the real deal. I heard he threw his first interception, but he also ran for a touchdown. Kareem Hunt scored. Their offense is the real deal. It's if they can stay healthy, they've got the running game, they've got the speed, they've got the possession receiver, they got Travis Kelce. And when you have a quarterback that can be mobile like that, we saw it last year with Deshaun Watson. NFL defenses are struggling to adjust. And I think the thing that stands out to me with Mahomes is he's got an absolute cannon. I mean, that ball gets to a receiver in no time flat. You know, the defense doesn't have time to adjust. That ball's out, and laser rocket. You know, you want to talk about the laser rocket arm. Mahomes has it. That ball is right there. He's been accurate, and I mean, they're undefeated because of it. Now, Blake Bortles did, I think I saw he had something like 3 or 4 turnovers, and I think a lot of them were down in the red zone. So Jacksonville, you know, was definitely could have made this game a lot closer. They ended up losing by 16, I think. So I don't think any real concerns about Jacksonville other than Bortles, which obviously you already knew was a concern. But man, I'm telling you, the Chiefs are a real deal.
Maybe a Chiefs-Vikings rematch in the Super Bowl? We'll see.
I don't know.
You know, we'll see. Next one, Lions over Green Bay. You and I both predicted this one. Well, Green Bay just looks like they're flailing right now. They're kind of short on wide receivers. All their guys are dinged up a little bit. Aaron Rodgers is still dinged up. Had, I think, 2 strip sacks on him. So there's obviously some issues going on there. I don't know, what are we expecting out of Green Bay the rest of this year?
I still can't put my finger down on them. I'd love to get, you know, our resident Packer guy on the show for once this year and have him try to break it down. You know, Crosby, I think, missed like 4 field goals and an extra point.
Didn't even mention that, yeah.
You know, you mentioned that Rodgers had a couple of fumbles. I mean, so there were some things that, you know, don't normally happen. They were without Jair Alexander, their, you know, top rookie corner. They also have Josh Jackson, obviously, but I think Alexander's performed better of the two. They were down, you know, I think Randall Cobb didn't play. I don't know if Devontae Adams played. You know, they were
Adams
they
played
were down.
Yeah.
Adams did play. Okay, yeah. They were down some weapons. Maybe it was Allison that might have been out. I'm not sure, but you know, Detroit, I think, has won 3 of the last 4. I believe they've won 4 of the last 6 when Green Bay has gone to Detroit. So, you know, divisional game, and I think that Detroit really turned their season around when they beat New England the week prior. And so, I don't know. I mean, I felt comfortable. It was a pick 'em game, you know, by the book. And I'm going to go with the home team on that one. And I don't know. Green Bay is struggling right now, but a lot of teams are struggling to really put it all together. I think I would be more concerned if I was a Packer fan than a Viking fan right now. But, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
Absolutely. But one thing's for sure. I mean, Detroit's looking better. Green Bay still got Aaron Rodgers. You got Chicago with Khalil Mack. They're looking pretty solid. This division is proven to be more difficult than I think we expected it was going to be this year. So the path is not necessarily going to be easy, but that just means that these divisional games are going to be super important. And it could easily be that 11-win team is going to take the division.
Well, I mean, at this point, I think 11 wins will win the division. And that doesn't mean that I don't see that, you know, I still think the Vikings could get to maybe 12. At this point, I think you'd be hard-pressed to say 13 because obviously that would entail us winning out. You know, but I think that 11 is probably the number to shoot for and that will win the division. You know, Green Bay, I think this week they've got the 49ers at home on a primetime game, so that's probably a win for them. Then they go into their bye, but then they're at the Rams, at the Patriots. So, you know, those are going to be two very difficult games to win, especially the way that they've been playing without, you know, real consistency lately. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt next week. I think that puts them at, what, 3-2-1? But then if they lose those two games, I mean, all of a sudden you're a 3-4-1 team. I mean, that's already five non-wins, you know. So best case, they're going to have to fight to get to 11 wins. And they still got to come to historic U.S. Bank Stadium. So Green Bay, I think definitely there's probably a little bit of panic in that fan base right now.
Absolutely. So, you know what, we've been there, and it's time they get a little panic in their fan base. I think they're due. But beyond those kicking woes Green Bay faced this week, and also that some other teams faced this week, including our favorite team, Graham Gano kicking a 63-yard game-winning field goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Just a stud. I love those long kicks like that, man. You have to commend the entire special teams unit in that case, because those long field goals, those have to come off at such a shallow angle that it is insanely easy to get one of those blocked.
Yeah.
So props to that entire special teams unit for getting that kick.
Man, and I still, we've been saying it since before the season started, if only the Panthers would be fully healthy this year, I think they would have been a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're still, I don't even know, I think, what do they have, one loss maybe right now?
I think it's the other 3-1 because they had a bye.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a good football team, but they've lost a lot of key players. But, you know, you don't hear him complaining, and Cam's still going out there and doing his thing. And, I mean, they're still finding ways to win football games. So, definitely a team to keep an eye on, but they would have lost that game. I mean, they were down a point and needed a 63-yard field goal, you know, basically as time expired. And it's awesome. If you haven't seen the play call, I would encourage you to go listen to it, especially the Spanish play call. That one is really fun to listen to. But yeah,
goal! Awesome kick. last thing on Around the League, we got Drew Brees last night passing Peyton Manning's record, I believe, of that was just yards, correct?
Yards, and he did not get the touch. He didn't get to 500. He had a chance to get to 500 touchdowns, but they ended up, they got down to the, like, I think they were in the red zone, and they hit the 2-minute warning, and then they kind of took him out and let him do the little, you know, kind of almost like in basketball where they check you out of the game so the fans can cheer you kind of thing.
Sure.
So they sent Teddy in to take that, to take the knees at the end of the game there. But passed Favre and Manning last night to become the all-time leader in yards. So pretty cool deal. I mean, I hate the Saints going back to, you know, obviously 09 and that whole situation. Say what you will about that, but I mean, Drew Brees, if you're a fan out there that hates Drew Brees or dislikes Drew Brees, I mean, I don't know what I would say, what's wrong with you, because I feel like he's gone and done things the right way. Everything you hear about, he's awesome in the community, unbelievably smart, you know, just a hell of a teammate to have. So, I mean, congratulations to Drew Brees, and I mean, he's going to post some pretty big numbers when it's all said and done.
Absolutely, one of the best quarterbacks of our time, and we're seeing him play right now. Pretty much kept that franchise relevant throughout this last decade.
Right.
So, anyway, let's move right on into the Vikings here. We spent about 10 minutes here around the league, so let's hop into this Vikings victory. first talking point, Kirk Cousins, awesome once again.
Yeah.
Puts up 301 and a score, zero interceptions. Just a phenomenal game. You looked at some of the throws he made where he was under duress, being hit immediately as he threw it, and he's just dropping these dimes all over the field. Like, I can't tell you how excited I am to have this for the next 3 years.
Well, I mean, it's every time, every week, we're basically saying the same thing. I mean, he's just making unbelievable throws, and it's incredibly fun to actually watch. You're not worried every time he drops back. You're excited. You're more worried as if he's going to have enough time, to make the throws. But it's been fun. Been really exciting. 30 for 37, 301 and a score, no picks. It's just he's going to continue to do it. You know, I said all along, I thought this was going to be something comparable to when Breeze went to New Orleans. We're obviously not there yet. We need to win a championship, but he's smart. He's a great team guy. He's great in the community. He's putting up the numbers. The offense is thriving. We are certainly going down that path, in my opinion. And I think there's no question that they made the right move over Keenum. If you want to argue Bridgewater, we talked about that a little bit last week. That's a different path for this football team entirely. So if someone really wants to make that argument, it's kind of like, okay, you can't really necessarily fight them because, you know, it's,
well, there's so many
oranges, I guess.
Right, yeah, you know? There's so many unknowns there, and that change, that completely changes how the offense functions if Teddy Bridgewater's here versus Kirk Cousins. So yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I can't wait to see these next few years unfold and the rest of this year unfold. Just being excited about a quarterback again, potential franchise level quarterback, being in Minnesota, a guy that we can rely on for the long term, and not be wondering next year, well, who's going to be our guy? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be ready to go? You know, it takes a lot off your mind when you cannot focus on that every single year. But yeah, Cousins keeps on earning his paycheck week in and week out. I think we're sitting at, honestly, 0-4-1 if he's not our quarterback in the start of this year.
Yeah, I mean, if Keenum was the QB, I think we really would be, really would have been in some trouble. Keenum not performing that well overall. I think he came out the gate week one and had an okay game, but then since then he's been one of the worst statistical quarterbacks. I think he's like 30th in QBR. Just not really doing what he did last year, where he was, I think, number two overall for most of the year in QBR. And maybe you don't believe in that stat from ESPN, but I think it's got to say something, right? So,
right.
But Cousins has been efficient. Diggs and Thielen are thriving. Even Kyle Rudolph is quietly off to one of the better campaigns of his, career. We just got to get that defense and running game a little bit more consistently going. And I think that this team's going to be in an okay place moving forward.
So speaking of the defense, pretty solid effort. Kind of fell off a tiny bit in the second half. I think they kind of let off the gas just a tiny bit. But overall, a solid game. I don't think you can have many complaints. You got to see a big man defensive tackle touchdown for 64 yards. Man, that was fun to see. So any other notes on the defense besides just better effort? I thought we gave up a couple shots that we probably shouldn't have, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, you got to be happier with the defensive effort. There's still a ways to go. You know, giving up 18 points in the second half is never something you want to do. I'd like to see this team, when we jump out to a 20-3 lead, you know, I want to be confident that's not attainable for the most part for other teams.
Right.
Mike Hughes, I think it was, gave up the one long ball down the left sideline to Shelton Gibson. He was in good position, and he just, again, it's that same thing we've talked about where you're in the right position and you just got to finish and make that play, tip that ball away. And it was so close, but that was one of the longer plays we gave up. They got a little bit of yardage late. I think Ertz scored his TD, and you can't really call it garbage time, I guess, because I think Thielen gave everyone a scare. You know, we still had to field that onside kick. But overall, better effort from the defense. I thought it was one of Barr's better games of the year. The pressure was somewhat consistent. You know, they didn't get a hell of a lot going on the ground. Obviously, I think that you can comfortably say it was a much better defensive effort than the previous few weeks.
And like we say here, it's a big road win with some of our major key players not playing. Everson out, Wayne's out, and Dalvin was out.
Yeah.
And then also on the offensive side of the ball, you had Reef go out, I think, middle of the game. So kind of shuffling on the O-line, and they seemed to do fairly well. It's, I think, a great confidence booster coming into this next little stretch of our schedule. We come home against Arizona. We go to the Jets, both games that should be very winnable. Now, you look at the Buffalo game, that one should have been winnable too, so that's why I'm approaching these cautiously.
Yeah.
But yep. Those teams we should win against. On paper, we should win against 99 times out of 100. So as long as we can stave off that one time, we'll be all right there. We'll enter into, I think we go to Detroit after that. We entered in Detroit 4-2-1, and that's a pretty good place to be. So I think looking ahead, we're looking pretty good. Last thing for me, the score was 23-21. That wasn't really indicative of how the game went.
Right.
I mean, they got those 8 points or 7 points late, which we pretty much gifted them that because we knew, well, we're going to give you everything in the middle, and we're going to make you eat the clock. Right. So we kind of intentionally give up that field, and it may look like the defense got soft there, but no, they were playing very specific football and very situational football at that point.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's kind of where we were up 20-3, but it did get a little scary. I think the play of the game for me was Harrison Smith coming in and nailing Alshon on what would have been a, I think, 3rd and 20 completion. That would have put him right down, I think, right around the 10, late with a chance to take the lead. They ended up having to punt after that. So a majority of the game wasn't that close, but it did get a little hairy at the end. I mean, I was pacing around, you know.
Would have been closer for comfort level, obviously, but the majority of the game, we had it pretty handled, and then you drill that 52-yarder. Dan Bailey drills that 52-yarder to put it up by two scores. That was absolutely critical.
Right.
So him being an actual lead kicker, being able to make that kick after missing two prior, that's exactly what I wanted to see out of Dan Bailey, making a critical kick like that when we absolutely had to have it. You know, you didn't Mason Crosby on us and drop five kicks. You dropped one really weird one early. You dropped a 42-yarder, which is okay. And then you came back and you recovered with that 52-yard pretty much right down the middle.
Yeah, basically dead center. I don't want to have to worry about the kicking woes. And I'm not going to just because I'm not going to let myself worry about it right now. But I think Bailey has a bit of confidence in him. It's more, I get the feeling like when he missed, he's making the corrections himself. And he knows what went wrong. Whereas with Carlson and sometimes Walsh, it's almost like you think they just went up there and they just kicked the ball and they hope it went in.
Right.
Whereas I feel with Bailey, he's out there, you know, dissecting it, knowing right where he wants to kick the ball, exactly what he needs to do that. And that 52 was dead center. So I think, you know, he had to get a few things out of the system, straightened out. He hasn't kicked in a while. Luckily, it did not cost us this football game. Just as a side note, Mike Zimmer, if you're listening, I hope you are. Love you, coach. But this is why I would have let him kick in the Buffalo game when it didn't matter late and you decided not to do that. This is why I maybe would have let him try to just kick even if it was an extra point, etc. Let him, you know, start to get into a little bit of a rhythm. So, huge kick by him, absolutely clutch, reminiscent of Kai last year against New Orleans. Just huge.
Absolutely. So you're rolling right along here. We have a couple concerns going into next week, I'm sure. Probably not as high, but rest of the season here, these things we need to be taken care of. Tight end production is still high. Ertz 10 for 110 in a score. I don't know. How do you even solve that? Because mostly tight ends are ending up on your linebacker. So is this just you need to get better play out of Kendricks and Barr?
I think so. But, I mean, it's you know, I went back and looked at a lot of the game logs here, and it's something that is kind of consistently been going on. And I mean, it even dates back a little bit to last year, and it's something that you occasionally see on forums and you hear people talk about, you know, oh, we give up a lot to the tight ends, whatever. But I mean, going through our games this year, I mean, Kittle should have had a huge game against us. He, you know, Jimmy G misses him or he drops the one long one. Jimmy Graham had a big game. Zach Ertz now had a big game. You know, so I don't know. It's something I wanted to mention. You know, 10 for 110 in the score. Granted, I think probably three of those catches and the score came a little bit later. But again, it's not really garbage time because
they're still in the game.
Yeah, that brought him within 2 points, basically. So, I don't know. It's just something, you know, that could be a talking point for us here as we continue to go down the road that is this season. But, you know, in terms of fixing it, I think, yeah, you need to have a little bit better play to linebackers. And when you play these teams that do have really athletic, talented tight ends that they tend to throw the ball to, Maybe you got to scheme a little bit to try to take him out of the game, you know, a little bit better than we are.
Sure. Of course, obviously most tight ends end up being kind of the check down scenario, so it's kind of hard to completely remove that. But I think, like you said, you can definitely limit it. You can scheme it out a bit better. Try to do some of those three safety looks. We'll kind of get into that a little bit more here a little bit later. But try to give them a little bit different look so that they don't really know what's coming, and that kind of takes away that option just a little bit more. We alluded to it earlier. Rushing attack is still really not good. Zero rushing TDs to date. 65.8 yards per carry. That's 31st in the league. 32nd is Arizona. So at least going into there next week, something we can kind of key in on is just continue to stuff the run and make a pass on you. And I'll take a rookie quarterback passing on Mike Zimmer's D all day.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, the Eagles are, you know, I think they were the best rush defense statistically last year. They were, I think, one coming into this game this year. If not, they were very high up there. You know, no Dalvin. We did at least get a fair amount of carries. You know, Latavius had 11, Rock Thomas 4, Diggs had a couple. Mike Boone, I think, had one or two. So, you know, we did try to establish the run a little bit more. There were some longer runs. Diggs had a 20-yard rush. You know, there was 12-yard for Murray. So there was some success. I think there was a glimmer of hope there in the running game. But obviously, Dalvin's a huge part of that. I mean, we've seen what Dalvin can do with space. I think he makes this offense that much more dynamic. So, yes, it's still been an issue this year. But it hasn't really escalated to a huge point of concern for me until we can really see what Dalvin's able to do. You know, a healthy Dalvin Cook, hopefully that's something we see this year. I'm starting to get a little bit more concerned about that than I am, you know, the rushing game as a whole. It's, hey, is Dalvin actually going to get to 100%? You know, and what's it going to take to get him there?
And honestly, for me, it's approaching territory where you just say, okay, Dalvin, you're going to take Arizona off, you're going to take the Jets off. We have Murray, we have Rock Thomas. We can effectively replace you with those couple guys good enough to where we don't need you. Get healthy. We're going to need you for that stretch run. There's a couple tough games coming up on our schedule. So I'm honestly fine with sitting him for the next 2 weeks and get him back for that Detroit game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would be on board with that. I mean, I trust the Vikings medical staff, but it's just been a weird year for him, right? You know, he's like active, but on a pitch count. And then he came out of the Green Bay game. He's come out, I think he came out from a couple games. And it's like, well, something seems to be going on, you know? And I don't know if he's not being truthful or I'm not really sure, but we got to try to get him right, because if this team is going to indeed have a significant postseason run, I truly believe we're going to need Dalvin Cook to be a big part of that.
Absolutely. He just brings the offense to a whole separate level. Yeah, 100% with you there. Kendricks, I got to talk about this, because that touchdown he gave up, I have no idea what the hell he was doing. You know what I'm talking about?
Let's see. Kendricks was...
I believe it was, as you're looking at the defense, it was on the right side. No one behind him. He's off coverage by like 6 yards on the guy he's covering in the end zone, and there's no one around him. I have no idea what the hell he was doing.
Was that the one to Smallwood where he kind of landed and the ball came out, and maybe last year it wouldn't have been a catch or whatever?
Might have been. It was the one where they went for two. So, yeah, it was probably that one, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Like, why are you playing off coverage 6 yards in the end zone?
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, I was more focused on that ball moving when he hit the ground and whatever else. You know, I don't know. Is it a grain of salt situation here where, you know, you look at that as an outlier, a play where the defense...
I would, but then the next play, he misses the tackle and allows him to get the two-point conversion.
Right. I think on that play, Sendejo also took a bad angle to start because... In my opinion, he took an angle where he's trying to prevent him from getting. He's trying to almost like a tackle for loss. Well, what you need to remember on that is you just have to prevent him from getting into the end zone. So Sendejo almost should have angled back upfield. And even if you're not meeting him at the five in that case, but you don't really care. You can meet him at the two or the one. You just need to hit him out of bounds. So I don't know. I thought the 2-point, I don't know that I put that on him, but I mean, you might have seen something different than I did.
I just was unimpressed all day with Kendricks, honestly. Barr had a decent bounce back game, but Kendricks was not pulling his weight, in my opinion, and maybe that's why Ertz got loose for so much yardage. I don't know. Just something to watch out for in the future. I don't think Kendricks has had as good a year as he has in the past, so... Again, it's another watcher to kind of watch throughout the season as it unfolds.
Well, man, I mean, the linebackers, right? They just haven't been... it's been a part of the defense as a whole. The defense just hasn't been what it was last year.
Yep. So hopefully we can get that back on track. We started at the right foot in Philadelphia. We got to continue that. Kicking over to special teams here. Kicking woes, we already talked about that a little bit. Is it time to go back into Kicker Watch 2018 again?
No.
Okay. I got that hashtag ready, you know, because we could easily be there again if it starts to continue to go downhill. Punting, I wasn't really paying too much attention to this, but you put this on here. What did you see from punting? What's going on there?
It just hasn't been good. I mean, he shanked another couple this week, and he got lucky on a couple of them that they took really huge bounces, and, you know, they're going 15, 20 yards. But had they not taken what I viewed as lucky bounces, I mean, we really would have given up some chunks of field position again to the Eagles. So I don't know. I don't understand. I still didn't really understand why we didn't bring back who was the punter last year? Set like the NFL record, never had a touchback. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the touchback isn't really him. That's coverage team, but...
Well, but at the end of the day, if you don't land the ball in the end zone there, that is a key component of it, right? I mean, again, it's coverage team too, but
yeah, there was talks about this Wiley guy. He had the highest hang times of any punter last year, and that's why we picked him up. But I'm kind of with you there. It's like the results speak for itself at this point. Like, yeah, if you have a high hang time, but you're only going 30 yards, like, what does it matter?
Right.
So yeah. I don't know, I guess something else to keep an eye on, and hopefully you can kind of get that sorted out. But like you said, if you can't, you're giving up shorter fields than you have to, and all of a sudden you're skewing your field position game pretty hard. And we saw how that turns out, like versus Buffalo. When the skew is just ridiculously one-sided, you typically don't win those games.
Right, right. I mean... Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit, but
maybe
I kind of the last couple of weeks I've been watching. You know, I'm trying to like pay more attention to it, and I didn't like what I saw this week. I'll tell you that much. So maybe throw it in the something to watch column, if you will. But it didn't look promising.
Right. So, yeah, hopefully we can get that fixed. Last thing I have on here is O-line update. Reef went out, I think it was late second quarter. Hill slid over to left tackle. Looked actually pretty good. Hill actually looked more natural at left tackle than right tackle. O'Neal in at right tackle looked okay. A couple snaps were a bit questionable, but overall, when you're dealing with a situation like that, I think they handled it pretty well. I haven't heard anything on Reef. This is Wednesday's, or this is Tuesday even, so they haven't even practiced yet, so there's no injury report yet. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that for Reef. I don't even know what happens if we lose another tackle at this point. Things get really, really interesting if we do. So let's not figure out what happens with that. Let's try to get everyone healthy and back in there. I don't like going down this injury depth chart on O-linemen anymore.
No, I don't want to do that either. Let's hope for the best, and I vote we just leave it at that for the moment, you know.
Okay. real quick, I got 5 gold stars to give out and 3 wall of shame names, and you can add if you see anything different here. Gold star, passing attack. Perfect.
Okay.
Gold star. Linval Joseph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question.
Just a monster game. Another gold star. J-Ron Curse.
Okay.
Okay. You with me so far? Another gold star. Filippo. Called a great game. Brought it to his old team. Loved it. Another gold star. Dan Bailey. Any contention with those? Or you want to fight back on those?
I mean, the Bailey one, I don't know that I...
Oh, well, there's more coming up. Okay. So, Wall of Shame. Kendricks. Okay.
Okay.
Essentially gave up 8 points, in my view. Running game. Still very anemic, still very, very below average.
Yeah.
And the last Wall of Shame? Dan Bailey.
Yeah. All right.
Because he shanked a 28-yarder.
Right.
How do you miss a 28-yarder? Like, are we Blair Walsh again here? What's going on?
Hey, at least he hit the upright, but...
I mean, I guess, but still, yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm fine with that. I would like to add the punter into the Wall of Shame, personally, but...
Okay. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to that, but if you say so, we can add him in. So you say you got a new little game for me here, Mike. What do you got?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and it's... We'll see if you'd be interested in playing, but I kind of thought, you know, I could go back any course of Vikings history and basically identify a player. And I could come up with a list of clues kind of thing. And then, you know, basically give you a clue at a time, you know, kind of. I'm sure there's some game shows where, you know, it's kind of that style where I'll read one clue. You can guess if you want. But, you know, I don't know how many wrong guesses we give you, maybe one or two. You don't have to guess after, you know, you wouldn't have to guess after every single, you know, one. But I don't know. I thought that might be kind of fun. And maybe each week I'd come up with a couple of them, you know.
Are you prepared now or starting next week?
I could probably get one ready for you.
Okay. You start getting one ready for us here.
Okay.
Let's see, what else can I talk about while you're getting one ready? I guess we saw about 7 snaps from Aloka, so that was good to see him finally getting involved a little bit. Curiously enough, the highest grade on defense was Ben Gideon, who only had 5 snaps. So, I guess take that as what you will. Ready yet?
Almost.
Okay. So, yeah. Also, one little tidbit that I put out on Twitter that I'll put out here again. We do face Philadelphia next year as part of the NFC rotation. They will be coming to historic U.S. Bank Stadium. So, we finally get one at home. We played them in... 06 in Philadelphia. We played them in 17 NFC Championship game. Obviously, we play them this year as part of the same place finisher in the NFC that part of the schedule, and we'll play them next year at home. It's part of the NFC rotation. So I'm circling that one. That one's going to be a fun one to see them actually come in here and try to take us on at historic U.S. Bank Stadium.
How do you already know that?
So, okay, so the schedule is broken down into chunks, right? So you have your six divisional games that you play, home and away against the other three teams in your division. Then there is a rotating AFC division. So we play an entire AFC division, and then that rotates each year. And then every 8 years, it rotates the home and away games. So, for instance, we're home against two of the AFC opponents. In 8 years, or 4 years, we'll be away to those same opponents. NFC does the same thing. It rotates through three of the other divisions. And then what happens is, after you get those, you have 4, 4, and 6. You're at 14 out of 16 games. The final two games are the two same conference division teams that you're not playing already that finished in your same spot on the division. So since we won the North, and New Orleans won the South, and Philadelphia won the East, and we're playing the entire West, we play Philadelphia and we play New Orleans as part of our schedule. So there's only two games that really change in any given year. Everything else you 100% know about in advance.
Okay.
All right, what do you got for me?
I got one for you here.
All right, what do you got?
All right. So I'll give you some clues.
And this is a Vikings player.
Yes, and okay. It can be current. It could be, you know, former. It could be going back, you know, 30 years. Could be going back 3 years. You know, whatever.
Okay. What do you got?
All right. So this player was technically a member of four different teams in his tenure, but only actually played in a game for your Minnesota Vikings.
He's a member of four different teams. Yep. Only played for the Vikings.
Yes, so he was on four teams, only ever actually saw gameplay with the Vikings, and that's clue one.
Active 53?
Yes. Well, he was active 53 on two of the other three. One of them cut during the preseason.
Okay. Next clue.
He grew up and played his high school football outside of Dallas, Texas.
Next clue.
38 career NFL touchdowns.
Holy cow. 38 career NFL touchdowns. Next clue.
Nationally, his wife is more famous than he is.
You got another clue?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
He attended and played college football at Florida State University.
No, okay. Another clue. I should know another this by now. I should know this by now, shouldn't I?
I don't know. Probably. He is a first round draft pick by the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't know, man.
His best season with the Vikings, he started all 16 games, throwing for 2,935 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions.
Yep, I got it now. Christian Ponder.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to figure out because it sounded like it was a receiver or something like that, but yeah, okay, that makes total sense now.
Yeah.
Well, those are some fun facts about Christian Ponder, but no one else knew.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, I have a Christian Ponder jersey.
You know, you could just tape over that. And who's number 7 for us right now?
Well, T-Jack was 7. Teddy was 5. We had someone else was 7, another quarterback, I think, after T-Jack. Keenum was 7, I think.
Yep, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure that I'll get some use from it at some point.
Daniel Carlson was 7.
Yeah, Daniel. Man, maybe the Vikings should just not allow number 7 to be a thing.
Just, okay, you retire number 7 and be like, this number is bad luck.
Yeah, get it out.
Yeah, and that's out. Anything else to wrap up this recap? I think we're both pretty happy that we're walking away 2-2-1. Tough game, but yeah, I think we're both pretty happy. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap her up for the day?
No, I think, you know, a little bit of sweet revenge. It feels good to get a win there, especially after the NFC Championship. I actually talked to a guy Monday afternoon. He had been to the game on Sunday and said it was the least amount of Vikings fans he had seen at a game. He goes to a lot of games a year. He said he thought maybe only a hundred, few hundred people out of the 60,000 there. So I think the Philly fans and all the stories and horrific things you heard might have been a detriment. But he also said that he felt the fan base. He was at the game last year and felt it was really a deflated fan base. You know, they were maybe coming down from that Super Bowl high and they're not really, they weren't into the game. He said, you know, it was just kind of a weird atmosphere, but at the end of the day, it's a win we needed. I had us hopefully coming out of this 3-2 through 5. We're 2-2-1. Got to be happy about it. Long way to go, but I think we're going to put things together.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Skulligers podcast. I'm at Namok7. Mike?
Musky_Mike.
That's SkulligersMN. That's the Twitter for us. Skulligers.com, part of the Climb in the Pocket Network. Catch us next time. We're going to break down what to expect in the Arizona game. Should be a fun one. Should be one where we can see maybe a little bit of experimentation with DeFilipp and kind of see what he can bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a not great football team, but then again, they just won last week. So, as is the NFL, every week you got to bring it.
Any given Sunday, so let's bring it. Let's get that win, and let's skull, baby. Skull to the bowl.
Skull.